All right. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and get started while you are doing that. We were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is where we had started. Then we went to verse 18. Now, in verse 18, it says, "Now all things are of God." Those are those things that the old things have passed away and all things have become new. All those new things are of God in you. Then he says, "Who hath," notice past tense, "reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath," past tense, "given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, again, you're going to see an overlap. If you've been to the DHT, you're going to see an overlap in a lot of this stuff. We don't have a healing ministry. Don't have a deliverance ministry. Don't have an evangelism ministry. We have the ministry of reconciliation. That's the only ministry that is mentioned, right, in the Bible, basically. And that ministry of reconciliation is very simple. You say, then where does healing come in? Where does salvation come in? Okay, when you minister to a person and you reconcile their spirit to God, that's the ministry of reconciliation, and they get born again, that's evangelism, that is salvation. If you reconcile their soul to God, that is the ministry of reconciliation, but it is reconciling the soul is what we generally call deliverance. When we reconcile the body, we are reconciling the body to God, and that's called healing. So no matter what you're doing ministry-wise, it's going to be reconciling some part of man back to God. Now, Jesus has already done this. He has already reconciled us back to God. Now, our job is not to go and say, God can do this. It's to say, God has done this. It's to say, if you're sick, it's to say, you're healed. Right? Why? Because Jesus, again, past tense. And if you've listened to many of our materials, I've always had a tendency to talk very fast. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand me because I do. Now, one of the reasons I tend to talk fast is because I pray in tongues a lot. And the more you pray in tongues, the faster you can talk in your natural language. And many times whenever I'm doing a seminar or I'm anywhere teaching, I have a limited amount of time and an unlimited amount of material, okay? And so a lot of times I'm trying to get as much in as possible. People, they've actually done some studies, or what you want to call it, on our CDs and things. And on the average, I get at least twice as many words on a CD as an average minister. So you're actually getting twice as much material on one CD. So, and we don't charge you double. You know, it's keep it simple. So we're trying to, amen. Yeah. But in these seminars, I'm actually slowing down. And I'm doing that on purpose because I want to take these things and just take them piece by piece. When I was in the martial arts, we always had guys that come in that were always wanting to learn the next technique. No matter where they were, they always wanted to know the next technique, next thing. Teach us something new, all the time. And invariably, those guys hardly ever could do any of them right. You know, they knew 1,000 techniques partially. But the people that always beat them in sparring and beat them in training were the people that knew 1 or 2 techniques very well. And so it's not about how much you learn. It's the fact that you learn accurately a few things that will work. And then from that, you always have time to grow from that. And you can always add to your repertoire, so to speak. But the key is get the basics. Learn the basics. If you don't know the basics, no matter what the other stuff anybody teaches you, no matter what that is, it will fall apart on you in the middle of the fight. Right? You will never be able to really do what you need to do. So you may look very good at getting beat up, but that's not what you want, right? You don't want to look good getting beat up, right? And it doesn't matter if you don't look good winning, right? Winning is winning, whether you look good doing it or not. Amen? So learn a few things. Whether it's pretty or not, doesn't matter. Just make sure they work. Well, the Bible works. Right? So let's focus on some of these things. So I'm slowing down on purpose to draw attention. Many times when I speak very quickly, I'll say things, and because you're moving along with me, I'll say something that's very important, but it just gets passed over. because we go through it so quick. So I'm purposely slowing down so that I'm causing you to take time to look at it. All right? So again, let's get back in here. Notice here, it says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry you have. Now, underneath that, it says this verse tells us that the new things that were put in us at the new birth were not of ourselves, but were actually created by God Himself and put within us, making us brand new, and that everything in us, now in us, in our spirit, is of God. And it is by God, and it is from God. Nothing in you now is of you or from you. Right? You get that? Nothing. In other words, even in you now, there's still no part in you that is of you that is good. Right? That's why you had to die to come into Christ. Even if you study, if you go back into Ezekiel, and Ezekiel 18, where it talks about the generational curse, what we generally call generational curses, it says in there that he's going through this whole thing in the process. If you do this, if you do that, and if you do that, and if you don't watch your, you know, if you see your dad's sin, you don't commit them, then you will not be held accountable by for your dad's sin. It says all that in Ezekiel 18. Totally destroys all of the generational curse teaching, totally and completely, right? Just read Ezekiel 18. It answers everything. Just that one chapter. Don't need a commentary. Just read it, exactly what it says. Now, when in that, in Ezekiel 18, it says that God, and it even says it through Numbers and Exodus, it says that God has mercy into thousands, and He shows mercy, and it show, and it talks about God's goodness to people, and then it says, who will by no means clear the guilty. It says that God will not clear the guilty. And yet the entire church is always trying to get God to clear the guilty. You'll never be cleared from guilt. Now understand, let me finish before you just jump on that, okay? It's not that you're going to have your guilt removed. It's that you're going to die. See, if you don't die, you're still guilty. The only way you're not guilty is in Christ. If you're not going to be in Christ, you're always going to be guilty. Right? He's not going to make you right. He's going to make you dead and hide you in Christ. And now it's Christ that lives and no longer you. Do you understand? But until you die, until your life is hid in Christ, and as long as you are still standing outside of Christ and you're still out there and you're trying to live right and do right and be right and get all the anointings and get all the giftings and fast enough and pray enough, you're still trying to exert and enforce your own righteousness. You're trying to say, God, take this filthy person, and by my good works, I will clean myself up to a point where I am worthy to be saved and used. And that is the worst thing you can do in the kingdom of God. That is the worst. The key is to bow your knee. And when you bow your knee to Jesus as your Lord, you die. And you are hid in Him. And it's no longer you. See, that's what makes it so easy. I can tell you you're healed by the stripes of Jesus because it ain't me having to do it, right? It's Him. He did it. And it's not something you're going to do to get it. It's what He's already done. Now, if you can believe it, you can get healed. If I can believe it, I can get you healed. You see, that's all there is to it. It's not a matter of what we've got to do. The Bible says, let us labor, in Hebrews, to enter into His rest. Now, that sounds like a contradiction. Labor to enter into His rest. But we're not laboring to receive the blessing of God. We're laboring to enter into His rest, which is simply to go in. And it, believe it or not, that's the hardest thing. It's easy to do works. It's easy to go out there and try to work your way to heaven. That's easy in the sense that, well, if I do this, I can do that. I can decide to go fast. I can decide to go pray. I can decide to do these things. And it's easy to do these things because I think I'm earning it. And earning something requires no humility, no submission, nothing. I get this because I earned it. And when you do that, you're not bowing your knee to Jesus. You are maintaining who you are. And I did this in America, as like many other places, it always goes back to, I'm a self-made man. Nobody put me here. Nobody helped me get here. I did this on my own. And that is in the church. It's the same thing. I fasted, I prayed, I did this enough. I got, even if it's, I got a hold of this person and they pass their anointing to me. It's always something I did to do it. But laboring to enter the rest, it's a labor to enter that rest. Because it's hard for us to say, I can't do anything to deserve this. Right? There is truth to that. So that's the hard part. It is laboring. Now the labor part is not just getting there, but staying there. Because once you get in there, you keep wanting to try to come back out and do this and do that. And we were talking about this the other day, actually, I think it was. The easiest way to find out what somebody believes is, for instance, when they're praying for the sick, is for them not to get results. As soon as they don't get results, you find out what they really believe. Because that's when they revert back to other teaching, this thing, that thing. In other words, what we teach and what the Bible teaches about healing is that we as Christians have the authority and the right to command sickness and disease, devils, any of those problems to go. Bottom line, whether the devil is in you, around you, on you, whether you invited it in, no matter what, I don't care where you are with God, I have authority over that devil. I can tell that devil to leave you, whether even if you want to keep that devil, I can make it leave you. Right? Why? Because wherever you are has nothing to do with my authority in Jesus Christ. And it does not, your faith or disbelief or unbelief or anything else does not affect the promise that God gave me that if I lay hands on a sick, they shall recover. Or if I cast out a devil, that it has to go. Where you stand does not affect my standing with God. You get that? Now that's just as kind of blunt as I can get it. So based on that, we do everything through authority, through dominion, through exercising the authority of Jesus Christ, not based on what we've done, but based on what he's done. We exercise the authority that at that name, everything that has a name must bow its knee. Well, I'm using that name. So sickness has to bow its knee because I'm using that name. Not because I fasted and prayed, but because I'm using that name. You understand? Even Peter said, and if you've been to the DHT again, Acts 3 is a key. Because in Acts 3, it says that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. They had not prayed, right? They weren't prayed up. They had not been fasting. They were going to the temple to pray. And on the way to the temple, they saw a lame man, and Peter told him, silver and gold, I don't have, but what I got, I give you in the name. Get up. Isn't that right? And then he healed him. And then everybody's come around, and he said, why are you looking on us as though by our own power or holiness? In other words, why are you looking at us as though I have a special anointing or I lived holy enough, I fasted and prayed enough until God would use me? He said that is not what happened. He said, but it was by the name of Jesus and faith in that name that made this man whole. Now you hear that? They were on their way to pray. They had not prayed, so they had not prayed up. So it had nothing to do with that. It was by the name of Jesus and faith in that name. That's all. Now, if you are a Christian, now the Bible is very clear that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Right? So if you are in Jesus, you got there because of the name. You got into Jesus because of that name. You believed on that name. And now that name is your name. It is just like when a husband and wife marry, the wife takes the husband's name. You have taken on the name of Jesus. Now when you use that name, you have the right to use that name at any time on anything that is in the will of God. Amen? You don't need permission, and you're not guessing. You're not saying, I'm using the name. See, the church looks at it like we'd write a check. And when you write a check, there's a place for the signature. And the wife, now she might write her first name, but now the wife writes the husband's last name because it's her name, right? The wife's check does not need a cosigner, right? She doesn't write the check and sign it, and then the husband say, here, would you co-sign this? And then he has to sign it. It isn't that way. Why? Because she has full authority to use that name, right? There's no need for a co-signer, but the church uses the name of Jesus like it needs a co-signer. In the name of Jesus, go. Is that all right? You backing me up on this? No, you're doing it. You're using the name, and when you use the name, the backing is in the name. You understand? It's not, let's use the name and see what happens. Using the name makes it happen, right? You say, well, how come it hadn't worked for me? Because you don't believe in the name. Simple as that. You just don't believe in the power that's in the name. You don't believe. Now listen, this is very, very simple. If you use the name and it doesn't work, it is because you don't believe that at that name, everything that has a name has to bow its knee. You believe there are still things that can cause things not to have to bow their knee. Right? If you, and believe me, we're taught many times in the church that there are a dozen things that can make it where it doesn't have to obey. You know, whether it's sin in that person's life. Well, James didn't say that. James said the elders will pray the prayer of faith and the Lord will raise him up. And if the man's committed sin, it'll be forgiven. Didn't say anything about the man. Didn't say get the sin out first. That's after the man's healed, he's forgiven. Right? Your healing was paid for before your sins were forgiven. Amen? So we need to get these things in line. Now, again, this is not a healing seminar, but healing is a good way of demonstrating and of talking about these things and bringing it out. Now, so you have to stop separating yourself. When you use the name of Jesus, when a policeman gets out in a blue uniform with a badge, with a gun, stands out there and puts his hand up, you stop. Right? You don't say, well, how do I know he's a real cop? How do I know that the chief really likes this guy? Maybe the chief doesn't like this guy. Maybe I shouldn't have to listen to him because the chief doesn't like him. So you don't think that way. You say, uniform, badge, gun. Right? He's got the authority. That's it. Right? You don't look at all the why it might not work. You just obey. And you don't care what policeman is in that uniform. Amen? You don't care what the name is on the... He's not standing out there going, in the name of officer so-and-so, you stop. No. He says, in the name of the law or in the name of the city of, you know, wherever. Because that's... He's not operating in his authority. He's operating in the authority of the city that hired him. Right? Well, you're not operating. See, this is where the church is... We've messed this up. We think I have to fast enough, pray enough, do enough, get enough anointings, all that stuff. Well, if that's true, when if you can fast enough for God to use you when you go out, you ought to be able to say, in the name of Curry Blake or in your name. Why? Because you've done what it takes to get that power. But you're not going in your name. You're going in his name. You're going based on what he's done, not what you've done. It's his authority, not your authority.